You might like to turn in your Bible to Ecclesiastes chapter 9. And in our study of Ecclesiastes, you are reminded God gives it, God uses the mind and heart and life of Solomon to help us to see. If you're going to live on planet Earth and you could have everything and do everything and be everything, if you leave God out under the sun on planet Earth, you've got nothing at all. Vanity of vanities. And God must be included. And so Ecclesiastes points you to a life on Earth with all of its grandeur and greatness and glory and grief. And then he tells you on the other side, if you don't put God in, it won't come out at all. So, keeping that in mind, Ecclesiastes 9, picking up, please, in thought. Because that's helpful. You want to know, what is God doing in this book that is so relevant and yet so difficult to absorb? And the reason is because reality is tough. Reality is never popular. It just isn't. We don't mind a couple of things in reality, but we don't want to see everything in its reality. Just some things. Other things we don't want to see. So that makes life difficult for us until we can understand we need to see everything in the light of reality. Now, Ecclesiastes 9 again. In verse 4, keeping in mind, if all you have to choose, if all you wish to have is in this life, period, and there is no tomorrow, there is no God for you, then that's one thing. On the other hand, if you understand you have this life, and you understand there is a wonderful God who made it, created it, then that's the other side of the coin. So one side of the coin is, you have no God in the light of creation, you have no future in the light of God. That's one. And the other is, you see God and understand, and here we are in creation that God has given us. So, thus, on the first side of the coin, first side, 9 and 4 again, just to hit the target. For to him that is joined to all the living, there is hope, expectancy, anticipation. For a living dog is better than a dead lion. For the living know that they shall die, verse 5. But the dead know not anything, because they aren't alive anymore to know anything. Neither have they any more a reward, for the memory of them is forgotten. So everything that you have can experience is based on your life on earth in time. And that's what we have. If that's all you have and that's all you see, then that's all you have. And your only hope is to try to keep alive as long as you can, any way you can, any bit of life, even if it's miserable, as a dead dog. I mean, oh. Well, that was rather appropriate, though. Let's use it. A living dog isn't very good, and a dead one is even worse. So we'll try to capitalize on that. And thus, all we have is that. So with that in mind, keeping those two things, pick up in thought now, going down, if you can, to verse 9, where we were. Live joyfully, live joyfully. With thy wife, to see, to live, and it's in the plural, to live, experience the condition, the continuance of life, enjoy life, be living, enjoy living. With thy wife, whom thou lovest all the days of thy life, the life of thy vanity. In other words, you're going to live together with your wife, domestic love. And you love, the word is used, a very wide usage, love to desire, to to reach for after something. Live joyfully with thy wife, whom thou lovest, all the days of thy life, all the days that you live, all the days that belong to the days to your life of vanity, vain life, vain life. And you'll notice here in the days of thy life, of thy vanity, vanity, just think of to vanish, to fade, to disappear, like smoke disappears in the air, mist of fog disappears, transitoriness, difficult to understand, vanity, vanity. Can't put it together, can't hold it long enough, can't see it well enough, doesn't last long enough to see it, to grab it, to try to understand it. Thus, live joyfully with thy wife, or whom thou lovest, all the days of the life of thy vanity, which he, God, hath given thee under the sun. God has given you these days under the sun, on planet Earth, in time. If you have a future with, and they know God, that's one thing. If you don't, then this is it. Then you might as well enjoy it all. Now, putting that together, go over with me, please, to Genesis and just pick up where we were. Genesis and chapter 3. And let me even pick up, if I can, in thought while you're already here. Go with me to Genesis 1 and verse 29. Because remember, God gives you the wonderment of eating and drinking and living. All of these things God gives you. He meant them for all human beings. And he's saying, if you're either going to do it with me or without me, but I give it to you, this is your time to use them. Genesis 1 and 29. God said, behold, I have given you, there's your verb, I have given you every herb bearing seed which is upon the face of the earth, and every tree in which is the fruit of a tree yielding seed, to you it shall be for meat, for food. So I've given you all this. I've given it to all human beings. Now, over to chapter 9 for a moment. Chapter 9 and in verse 3. 9 and 3, Genesis. Every moving thing that liveth shall be meat or food for you, even as the green herb have I given, there's your verb, I have given you all things. I have given you all of this as a human being to enjoy. I've given it to you. Now, chapter 3. Chapter 3. And picking up, if I can, in verse 12. Remember now, Adam and Eve sinned, and the man said, 3 and 12, the man said, the woman whom thou gavest, there's your verb, to be with me, she gave, same verb, me of the tree, and I did eat. And so the woman not only lived joyfully with thy wife, whom he, God, hath given you. God made it that way. God did it. God made it. God made man, and then he made woman out from man. God did this. It's all God given. For humans. Now, back over, if you would, to Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes chapter 1. Ecclesiastes 1, and we're going to stay with the same verb. God gave, God gave, God gave. And he understands he gave something to humans without any to eat, to drink. He just gave it to the good guy, to the bad guy, to humans. Ecclesiastes 1, verse 13. And I gave my heart, there's your word, I gave my heart to seek and to search out by wisdom concerning all things that are done under heaven. This sore travail, this very unhappy lot, hath God, there's your word, God given to the sons of men to be exercised therewith. The whole purpose is to exercise your life on planet Earth under the sun, and all of these things are part of exercise, part that God has given. Would you go with me, please, over to chapter 3? Chapter 3. And picking up in verse 10. I have seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in it, by it. So we're living in the world, and the world is all what it is, and God hath given this, and God has given that, and God has labored by the sweat of your brow. That's how you live. God gave it. You're dust, and you came from dust. You are dust. You're going to dust. God has given the whole ball of wax, the sorrow in sorrow you will conceive, etc. God did that in his wonderful mercy. Now, picking up, please, verse 11. He hath made everything beautiful in his time. Also, he hath set the world, placed the world in their heart, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. How do we figure out what, and the word hath set is the word to give. He hath given, he hath set. Over, if you would, to chapter 5. Chapter 5. Chapter 5 and verse 18. Behold, that which I have seen, it is good and comely for one to eat and to drink and to enjoy the good of all his labor that he taketh under the sun all the days of his life, which God giveth him, there's your word, for it is his portion. What you can eat, what part of the world, what part of the culture, what part of the climate. If you're an Eskimo, you eat one kind of diet. If you live in the equator, you eat another kind of diet, etc. God hath given. Verse 19, every man also to whom God hath given, there's your word, riches and wealth, and hath given him power to eat thereof, and to take his portion, and to rejoice in his labor. This is the gift of God. God gives it to all. He made it. He made it for all human beings in a most wonderful way. Chapter 8, and in verse 15. Then I commended mirth, because a man hath no better thing under the sun than to eat and to drink and to be merry. For that shall abide with him of his labor all the days of his life, which God giveth him under the sun. God gives him. Chapter 12. Chapter 12. And in verse 7. Then shall the dust return to the earth as it was, and the spirit, body, soul, spirit. Remember, the body houses the soul. The soul houses the spirit. The soul and spirit are the person. The body lives in a person. The body's put aside. The person is made spirit, eternal, not like animals. And thus they live without a body. They exist either before God rightly or wrongly, but they continue to exist. Thus, the end of verse 7, and the spirit shall return unto God who gave it. God is the one that made it. God gave it. We didn't, mom and dad didn't provide it. You didn't go and hand the spirit and soul to somebody because you don't have the power to do that at all. You can make physical things. You understand that? You can make cells and eggs and seeds and multiply 2, 4, 6, 16, 8, 32, etc. You can do that, but you can't make spiritual things. You can't do that. God does that now. And that helps us a lot if you choose to use it. Helps you a great deal. So you stay where it is. God said, listen, don't get hung up with the body. Don't get hung up with that. Flesh and blood can what? Cannot inherit the kingdom of God. It isn't an issue of flesh and blood. So don't get, if you have to lose part of your body for physical reasons, it's only part of your body. That's all. It isn't you at all. So, with that little bit in mind and a little bit before you, would you, knowing, picking up over to Ecclesiastes chapter 9, Ecclesiastes 9, and picking up again in verse 9. Live joyfully with thy wife, whom thou lovest all the days of the life of thy vanity, this fleeting, transitory existence, which he, God, hath given thee under the sun on planet Earth, which we just looked at. And then, to drive home the point, he repeats, all the days of thy vanity. See, he makes it so you can't miss it. It's ironic. He's going to say, listen, go after this. But understand, this isn't what it's about. It isn't about that. It isn't about eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage at all. Thus in chapter 9, which he hath given thee under the sun, middle of verse 9, all the days of thy vanity, for that is thy portion, because the reason that is thy portion in this life, this is all you have physically to enjoy all of these things. God made them, God gave them for a human being to be able to survive, to live, to enjoy this life, because the reason, and pointing to, this is your portion, your part. The portion is a part of the whole, that which is a lot, the lot, your lot, if you would. This is your life, this is your labor, this is yours. Not somebody else's. This belongs to you. This is yours. This is your portion in this life, and in thy labor which thou takest under thy sun. Here you are toiling, laboring, and this is what you have in your toil under the sun all the days that you live. This is what you have. This is all you have. This is what you have. If you leave God out, that's all you've got. You don't have anything else. You don't have anything else to eat, drink, and do whatever, and do it. Watch it. It'll come. It gets real helpful. Verse 10. Whatsoever, remember now, you're tying together the movement of thought. In the light of that, whether you eat or drink, marry, whatever you do, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do. The emphasis is in whatsoever, whatever you do, and find to become visible, to make it, to have it in hand, to possess something, finding something. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might, do it with all your might. Whatever you find to do, do it. To have the power to do something, with the might, the bite, the power to do something. Find whatever you find, be able to do it with all your might. Just hold your finger over a moment here and over to Psalm 32. And in Psalm 32, look at the word find from the other side of the coin. Psalm 32, if I may, in verse 6. For this shall every one that is godly pray unto thee in a time when thou mayest be found. Surely in the floods of great waters they shall not come nigh unto him. A time to find God, a time to find God. And you have the same thing in Isaiah 55. There's a time to find God, and there's a time you won't find God. It isn't that God isn't there. God just isn't going to do anymore. God's there to do what he does, and there's a time he just isn't going to do it. And that's all. And all you can do is think of history and think of life. There's a time it just doesn't work. Nothing works, you see. Now, over if you would, back over to Ecclesiastes chapter 9. And in chapter 9 and in verse 10, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. Whatever you find to do, do it in thy power, perform it. to do, the word to do is used twice, to labor the artisan who works in hard material, a skillful production, someone making a fabric, someone making a building, etc., to fabricate something. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, the word I just mentioned, do it with thy might, do it with thy might, with thy strength, ability, efficiency. Whatever you do, whatever you are able to do, do it enthusiastically, do it wholeheartedly, do it to the utmost. Don't do it half-heartedly. Use your moment. Use your moment. It's the one you have. And thus, in the light of that, this activity, whatever it is you have, that it comes upon you that you can do, then do it. In the light of that, but don't be indifferent to the realities of life. Do it. If on the other side of the coin, as a believer, as a person looking to God, do it, enjoy it. But count on God. Don't lose the reality of it, as you'll see in a minute. Don't lose the reality. Stay with it. On the other hand, if it's all you've got, then that's all you've got. You might as well put your all into it, because that's all you've got. Now, if I can, over in chapter 9, verse 10, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might, to the end. And remember, you're nearer. It's the issue is urgency, not diligence. Urgency. You are nearer to the end. Every day you are nearer to the end of planet Earth living. Every day. You're one day less. Pretty soon it's 1 hour less. 1 minute less. You have so many minutes, so many hours, so many days, and you're going. Do it urgency, not diligent. Do it with all your might. This is it. This is all you've got, and it's disappearing. When it comes, take it, because this is all you have. Thus, in the process of that, with this urgency, and remember chapter 9, verse 5, the dead don't know. Chapter 9, verse 5, for the living know that they shall die, but the dead know not anything. They don't know anything. So this is it. If this is all you've got, then you've got to put your all into it. If this is it. You're counting on it. You're counting whether the operation comes out right. You're counting whether the job comes out right. You're counting whether the vitamin comes out right. You're counting everything, and it's critical. See, until God gets in the picture, and then nothing's critical. Nothing's critical. But without God, everything becomes critical to us. Very important. But it isn't very important in the light of God. And remember to always take yourself less, not very seriously. Take God very seriously. Don't take yourself seriously. Take God very seriously. See, that'll help you. Because we take ourselves too, T-double-O, seriously. And we should have taken God very seriously. People don't do that. Thus, chapter 9 and in verse 10, the listing. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might, do it with energy, do it urgency, do it with excitement, as it were. The motive. What do you need to know? In verse 10, there is no work. Remember, no fabrication, nothing you're doing. Remember the word do. There is no work, no work that you're doing. The word do and the word work are the same. There is no work. There is no doing. There is no, nor device. Device, contrivance, a plan, making logical deductions, thinking about things, planning things. There is no work. There is no device. There is no knowledge, information, knowing. There is no nor wisdom to be wise, to become wise. There is no wisdom in the grave whither thou goest. Thus, the dead don't work. The dead don't think. The dead don't look. They don't think things through. They don't gather information. They aren't interested in becoming wise. This is it. If this is what you have, so if you're going to do any of these things and you make it, if you think that's what life is for you, then do them. Because when you go to the grave, when you go to Sheol, it's the end. There is no more. So once you put them in the ground, put them in a coffin, whatever you do, once you do it, it's all over. And you know it's all over for all those people. They'll never go to the Pizza Hut again. They'll never worry about whether the light company goes up in price. And they don't care if gas becomes $7 an ounce. And that gets high, I gotta tell you. Now, you understand? It won't make any difference. Thus, I'm making it a little positive because we're gonna hit another section now. Go with me, please, over to Psalm 116. On the other side of the coin, Psalm 116. And in Psalm 116, pick up the thought, which verse 13 for a little context, or verse 12 even. What 115:12? What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I will take the cup of salvation, in the plural, salvations, God's rescue, rescuing me, delivering me, and call upon the name of the Lord. I will pay my vows unto the Lord now in the presence of all his people. Verse 15, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. So, dying. I don't want to die. I don't want to have to die. This is it. I have to do everything possible to gain, to keep, to hold on to, whatever, however, as much as possible. I try to do that. But for the believing heart, this isn't it. We're strangers and what? Pilgrims. We're only, what? Passing through. This is not your home. This is not what it's about. But if you leave God out, it's all there is. It's all you've got, dear friends. Now, you got that? Just lock it. That's real. God's helping us to help us. Would you go over one other place that ties together? And by the way, you do know Ezekiel. On your way, you'll pass it. Just to remind you, see if it's still there. Ezekiel, chapter 18, verse 23. Ezekiel 18:23. Have I any pleasure? 18:23. Have I any? Actually, you guys would get pretty good with Bible drills, wouldn't you? I mean, you just open a Bible so much. Man, we should have national competition because you'd be practiced without even practicing, right? I mean, you don't even practice. You don't even think of it. Wow. Chapter 18, verse 23. For I have I pleasure at all that the wicked should die, saith the Lord God, and not that he should return from his ways and live. I'm not interested in people dying in their sin. That's how they die. That isn't my plan. My plan was to save them. I died for them. Thus, chapter 18, verse 32. Have I no pleasure in the death of him that dieth, saith the Lord, therefore turn yourselves and live. So God isn't interested in anyone dying in their sins. They choose to. God isn't. Christ died for all. So if he died for some, you've got a problem just reading that. Revelation chapter 14. God will say it again on the plus side. Revelation 14. And in Revelation chapter 14, verse 13. And I heard the voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord. from henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest in their labors, and their works do follow them. Wow. Blessed are they that die in the Lord. See, precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. So if we understand and put God in the picture, all of we can eat and drink, and whatever we do, we can do it to the what? To the glory of God. See, whatever you do, do it heartily, Colossians 3. Heartily, with your whole heart. Do it as unto the Lord, not unto men, in the fear of God. Look, we can do it, but you can't do it that way and stay with it and do it without getting caught up in, I've got to have this, I've got to do that. And these things become overly important, and we again take ourselves too seriously and not God serious enough. Thus, over if you would to Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 11. 11 and 12 are little couplet. They're little couplets and subsections that keep going. They're all connected. Thus, in verse 11, 9 and 11. Here's the outworking of God's management in creation. It is how God does things are inscrutable. They are not easily understood. They are mysterious. They are unfathomable. They are perplexing. They are baffling. Life, life on earth, in time, is not predictable. Why couldn't we just live on earth and predict? You can't predict. Even when you think you can't predict. It's one thing, our duty, we are obligated to do our duty, saved or unsaved, we do our duty. But the amount of success for all the efforts that you put in is a whole nother ballgame. You may put in honestly, sincerely, with all your effort, but it may not come out as you think. You may not even come out fairly in your mind. Now, putting that together, verse 11. Now, remember now we're looking, wisdom does not have all the keys, doesn't have any keys actually. Wisdom is wonderful, as you're going to see in a bit. And after verse 12, wisdom has some advantage, but not a lot. It doesn't have the keys. And all since you don't have any keys, you can't open the door. You can't put together the pieces. You can't see in the other side of the door. God has the key, and God has the other side of the door. And thus, we don't know. And without God, we're going to draw back from going through the door, right? We don't want to go through the door because we don't know what's on the other side of the door. And yet the clock is moving us to the door and we don't want to go through it. So we're hanging on to physical existence and everything we can have, and to do so with some measure of urgency and joy and enjoying it, knowing it's there. Some of you have reached the age of 30. Some of you will reach the age of 60. And some of you will reach the age of 110, perhaps. But it is coming, isn't it? Isn't it? Don't you look forward to your birthdays, you know? Another birthday, a year older, right? And then another year older, right? And then you don't care about any more years. It doesn't matter. Now, Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 11. I returned and saw. It's filled, the word and the structure is filled with emotion, filled with excitement, contingency, the possibility that this could happen. I returned and I saw under the sun. I returned and I saw under the sun. That the race is not to the swift. And here, it's remember the whole structure of this is that it's possible to happen. and or not to happen. It may happen, it's unpredictable. It may or may not happen. It's dependent on that which is not certain. We don't know, we don't have the keys. It's contingent and it's uncertain. Under the sun, the present state of existence, human activity and all of its exercise, and then it goes through several categories. One is sports. And the first one you pick up, unpredictable. You don't have the keys, don't know how it goes together, great uncertainty. That the race is not to the swift. The race is not to the swift, to the swift ones. Each time it's a noun, used as an adjective, but a noun. Each time, the race is not to the swift. So the running of the race, in the direction does not belong to the swift. There's no sureness in the race of running. There's no sureness, speed, no matter how fast anything is, it doesn't mean you're always going to come out. It doesn't mean you're going to win. It doesn't mean it's going to accomplish. No matter how fast, no matter how hard, in whatever sport, no matter how much, it doesn't mean you're going to win. Doesn't mean that. Doesn't mean that at all. You don't know that. And here's all these sports things coming up, you know. And the team that has the most into it, puts the most into it, is most up for the game, they win. Teams that are great teams, wonderful teams. But if they aren't up for it, and the guy in the bottom's up for it, the guy in the bottom's going to beat him. The guys in the bottom's going to beat him. So we're going to win everything. It's uncertain, you know. Who knows? You don't know. Very perplexing. I looked under the sun, I looked on earth. The race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong ones, the warrior, to the strongest people, the army, the biggest army, the littlest army, the warriors, whatever they are, the battle, the strong ones, to the strong, the battle, the strength, war to the mighty ones. Doesn't mean they're going to win. Doesn't mean it's going to come out good. Doesn't mean it at all. You would think that, but it may not come out at all. You see, this very uncertain. Everything's uncertain about war, about sports. It's uncertain. How do you know what anything is? The contingency, that which is baffling, that which is not figured in, that which is not calculated. Decisions are made, but you didn't put a little factor in. If you put the factor in, it would have changed the outcome, wouldn't it? Would have changed how you thought. You put everything into the formula, into the recipe, but it didn't come out. Because you failed to factor in an ingredient. God has the ingredients, and God doesn't hand out the ingredients. The whole point is, God said, listen, I hope you understand that there's more to it than eating and drinking and living and dying. And if you don't understand that, woe is you. If that's all you think you got, to go to work and go and get older and older and lesser, if that's all you think it is, boy, that's discouraging. Thus, thirdly, there's five things. Thirdly, neither bread to the wise ones, to the intellect, to those that have ability and activity, mental activity. There is no bread to the wise ones, bread, material, gain, reward, earn a living. There is no bread. You think you're going to get it, you do everything, you plan everything, and it doesn't come out. That which you thought to gain, that's what you thought to have, doesn't work. It just doesn't work. Doesn't work, doesn't come out. And no matter how much you put into it, how wise you were, it just didn't come out. Now, keeping that in mind, hold your finger there a moment, over to Psalm 37, just for the sake of adding something. You could do it all the way through this, but Psalm 37, you have to balance everything you know. Psalm 37, and picking up, please, in verse 25. I have been young, and now am old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor a seed begging bread. I haven't seen that. But it is possible. There's a time, Paul would say, that I am full, and then I'm what? Hungry. There's a time I have, and a time what? I have not. God, what are you teaching? Contentment. Contentment with God. We shared it on Wednesday, didn't we? The whole issue is just God. When you're all done, God plus nothing plus no one, nothing anyhow, just plain God. And you learn it has nothing to do with your body, nothing to do with your life, nothing to do with your job, nothing to do with your health, nothing to do with your family, nothing to do with anybody. It's just God. And you learn to be so wonderfully settled with God that all else can come. Remember, don't hold anything too tight. Keep it all loose. Keep it all loose. So nothing is too tight in your hand. Because when it's too tight and you come to God with it, it's when you bring your hand back, it's still what? It's still there, isn't it? Still there. Don't hold anyone, anything too tight, not even your own life. Remember in Revelation, etc., Acts 20, they loved not their own life unto death. They didn't cherish their life. And to get to that point, wow. What a wonderful thing that is, to get there. My life is nothing. God is something. Wow. Now, having said that, back over, if you would, to Ecclesiastes chapter 9. Ecclesiastes chapter 9. And picking up in verse 11, we looked at 3. The race is not to the swift, nor the battle to the strong, neither yet bread to the wise, nor yet riches to men of understanding. Riches of men, riches, increase, wealth, men of understanding, it's a participle. Men of ones who, understanding people, to distinguish something with intelligence, to know, to mark, to have skill in a thing, to have skill in something. The riches to men of understanding. Now, do two things that will help you with that. Go over with me to Genesis 41. In Genesis chapter 41. And you pick up our word. Genesis 41. And if I may, in verse 33. 41:33, Genesis of Joseph. Pharaoh, and for that, verse 32, and for that the dream was doubled unto Pharaoh twice. It is because the thing is established by God, and God will surely bring it to pass. Now therefore let Pharaoh look out a man discreet, there's your word understanding, and wise, and set him over the land of Egypt. And he Joseph told Pharaoh how to handle the problem of the famine that was coming. Verse 38, and Pharaoh said unto his servants, can we find such a one as this? This is a man in whom the Spirit of God is? And the Pharaoh said unto Joseph, for as much as God has showed thee all this, there is none so discreet, there's your word understanding, and wise as thou art. There's none as discreet and wise as thou art. And God, in his wonderful working, the riches of men, understanding, to put it all together. Joseph, do you have it all together? No, but God does. God does. Joseph made him, took him captive as a young man, as a teenager, took him captive, put him in prison, did all the different things. All the things God did. Joseph, what's the whole point? What are you after? Well, God said, listen, when it's all done, Joseph, when it's all done, it's going to come out as you would never have thought. You never would have thought it. Thus you know. You might want to turn there. Genesis 50. You would never say, because here's the reverse. It isn't going to go bad. It's going to come out good. Going to come out good. Wow. That's right. Boy, it looks like nothing. But not so, because God's in it. Chapter 50, verse 19, Joseph said unto them, his brothers, fear not, for I am in the what? Place of God. But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive. And God did all of that and then put Joseph right on the top of the pile so that his father and brothers' families could come, the 70 of them could come and develop into a huge nation in Egypt. God did that, you see. Would you have thought of that? Would anyone said, boy, this is a plan. That who has the keys? God has the keys. God knows how it goes together. One other place, over to, if you would, to 1 Kings. 1 Kings, chapter 3. Interestingly enough, 1 Kings chapter 3. Would you please note, 1 Kings chapter 3, remember Solomon is a young man, he's going to take his father's place, he's going to be the king of Israel, he is very, very uneasy, he is not relaxed, he is not equipped, he's not David, Solomon is never David. And it will say it repeatedly. Solomon did not follow David. David was of one kind, Solomon was another. Now, having said that, Solomon was smart enough to know, verse 9, give therefore to God, prayer to God, give therefore thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern, that I may discern, there's your word, that I may discern and understand between good and bad. For who is able to judge this so great a people? And the speech pleased the Lord, and so that Solomon had asked this thing. Verse 11, and God said unto him, because thou hast asked this thing, and hath not asked for thyself long life, you weren't interested in your personal gain, personal interest, neither hast thou asked riches for thyself, nor hast asked life of thine enemies, but thou hast asked for thyself understanding in this case, to discern judgment. Verse 12, behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and understanding, there's your word, a wise and understanding heart, understanding, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither shall there be any arise like thee, arise like unto thee. I'm going to give you wisdom. Remember, now we're looking. No riches of men of understanding. Solomon says that. Now, did Solomon give you understanding? Wow, did Solomon give me understanding. He gave me understanding. It was a gift. God gave it to me. And God gave me everything else to boot. Verse 13, and I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days. No one's like you, Solomon. No one has everything. You have everything, and no, you have great understanding. But you know what, Solomon? You're going to go, and you'll never, never, oh, what a wonderful thought. 1 Kings chapter 11. Remember now, love thy wife, etc., all thy days. 1 Kings chapter 11. Solomon, did you ever dream riches, glory, and honor? Solomon, did you ever dream what would happen? 1 Kings 11, verse 1. But King Solomon loved many strange women. And down the tubes he went, didn't he? He went down the tubes, you see. Solomon, did you have the key to see through the door of what would happen? No, but go, I wanted to do it, and lo, God did everything, I had everything, and that's why you have Ecclesiastes. God, in his wonderful kindness to help us understand, if you leave God out, you have no way to put the pieces together. You keep piling up pieces, but you can't put them together. And God has it, and life is very baffling, and you can never pin it down and say, and predict thus. You know he's coming even this morning, Lord willing. But the rest of life is unknown. And when you think you have something, don't hold your breath count on God and relax. And don't take yourself what? Too seriously. Got it? Anyway, thank you for that. I hope you got a little bit. Great section.